Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas Turtle taking you up until the start of the second Corky Kell game of the evening, which we got for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our guys, Coach and Sam Crenshaw, will be on the call. But we got to talk about right now on the WaitFor.com hotline what went down at Flowery Branch today. Miles Garrett of Fox 5 Sports, host and reporter. Miles, from your vantage point, how did this all go down? QB1 was involved. It was an absolute chaotic scene today at Flowery Branch, from everything I understand.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. That was just one of a few different skirmishes that happened today. And of course, that's just the one that caught all the eyeballs because, yes, it involved Michael Penix Jr. But no, as far as that one is concerned, yeah, no, I mean, it was a deep throw to Ray McLeod, conceivably for a touchdown. In the words of Michael Penix Jr., it was a play that, some guys were chirping. He decided to chirp back, and one thing kind of led to another. And, you know, I was kind of looking at where the ball was, Ray McLeod. I noticed a scuffle going on and checked over there. And lo and behold, Michael Penix Jr. is in a little skirmish with somebody. I see his helmet go off. He's at the bottom of a pile. It was a pretty intense little fight there. But cooler heads prevailed. Both sides came over there and broke it up. But a handful of different fights. Casey Washington was involved in one. Caleb McGarry. There was a few different skirmishes there today.
What did you make of Michael Penix Jr.'s comments after the game, talking about his appreciation for the team, having his back and everything like that? It sounds like it was a unified front.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, of course, that's always what you want when it's your quarterback, right? I mean, you always want – I mean, there's a reason why the guy's wearing a red jersey. He is a guy that cannot – be touched no matter what in these joint practices, even though some of these guys are not supposed to be hitting. They're still getting some tackling in. But at the end of the day, you don't want your quarterback to take any unnecessary shots, especially with a guy like Michael Penix Jr., who has had a little bit of that injury history back in college. But football is football at the end of the day, and his teammates did come to his back, which he credited a lot. You know, he likes that he has the backing of his team, and what a quarterback wouldn't, right? I mean, that's what you want at the end of the day, a team that sticks up for your starting quarterback. I don't care who it is, whether it was Desmond Ridder or Marcus Mariota, you stand up for your quarterback, and the Falcons did that today.
So now the expectation comes, Miles, as that he will not play in the second preseason game, but it sounds like, based on what Raheem Morris said, the door has been left over for potentially Kirk Cousins to walk through.
Yeah, he didn't necessarily shut that door. I don't expect to see him play, but there has not been a definitive yes or no on whether or not Kirk will play, which is saying something, because there has been a definite no in regards to guys like Michael Penix Jr., conceivably, you know, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, all those other starters you kind of have penciled in there. It'd be interesting to see what Kirk can bring to the table. He had a pretty good day at practice today. Again, some of his throws were on the shorter side. You know, he wasn't really spreading the ball downfield too much. He had a couple decent throws there, but nothing that was, you know, crazy, I'd say. But at the end of the day, you know, you do want to see what you have in your backup quarterback option. We got a decent look at Easton Stick in that first game against the Lions, and, you know, a little bit of Emory Jones as well. But at the end of the day, if nothing changes, Kirk Cousins is your backup quarterback, and I'd imagine you want to see him get a little bit of reps in the preseason.
When it comes to the rest of the practice today, outside of those skirmishes, how did everybody look?
Yeah, I'd say today, Chris, was more of a more balanced day. You know, yesterday, I think it was pretty across the board that the Falcons won the afternoon. I mean, you can look at the Titans interviews. They basically said the exact same thing. They kind of got punched in the mouth yesterday. So today was a little bit more balanced. The Titans, again, I think there's a reason why there was more of those fights that we saw, because I think the Titans came out a little bit more chippier than they did yesterday. The battles with AJ Terrell and Calvin Ridley were pretty good. I'd say Ridley got the best of AJ today. But outside of that, Michael Penix Jr. didn't have his best day overall, all things considered. I think even before that fight, I think he was doing a little bit better. I think after the fight is when he kind of slowed down just a bit. But credit to the Titans defensive line. You know, they were getting some pressures on him early. As far as the throws themselves, Penix missed Drake London a couple times and some short throws. Again, it's practice. Take that as you will. But not the best day for him. Casey Washington, once again, to me, is catching most of everybody's eye on this beat, I would say, just because he seemingly has locked up. I don't want to say locked up. That's really a strong word there. But things are looking good for Casey Washington in that number 4 wide receiver spot when Darnell Mooney, of course, returns. He has a lot of repertoire with Penix. You know, they spoke about that specifically today, coming in that rookie class together. And, you know, the reps he's been able to get in Mooney's absence, you've been able to really notice out there on the field. So he's been the one catching the most eyeballs. He continued that again today.
Talking all things Falcons today at Flowery Branch with our good buddy Miles Garrett. Make sure you check him out on Fox 5. All right, do you feel like you saw enough to be satisfied with the state of the offense? We'll start with the offense, that if they don't play in the preseason, that you got a good enough look at what they could potentially be?
Gosh, that's a really tough question, Chris, because, I mean, again, you want to see these guys get some reps. And I think back to last year, you know, that first game against Pittsburgh, the offense did come out looking a little sluggish. Now, you can credit that to new offensive scheme with Zach Robinson, Kirk Cousins, the injury, what have you. At the end of the day, that's kind of what these preseason games are for, right? You want to get some reps in and sort of, you know, get these guys used to playing live action scrimmage play, you know, against one another where tackling is involved. You know, you're in a game environment. So, you know, without tackling and going full speed, I'd say, yeah, this offense does look pretty good. I like what I've seen from the training camp thus far of what this Zach Robinson scheme is doing. You've got Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts out in the flex, kind of putting them in positions to succeed. But at the end of the day, you got to see what these guys look like in live game reps. And Raheem Morris, Michael Penix, all these guys seem to think they are comfortable in this regard when it comes to that. But we won't find out until that first game against Tampa Bay.
No, you're 100% right. When it comes to the back end of the defense, what have you been seeing there? I know there's some competitions going on with some vets and some young guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be really interesting out there, especially in the secondary. You know, talking about the two new rookies there with Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman Jr., both those guys have had their share of working in with the ones, which is obviously what you want to see, especially a guy like Xavier Watts, who came in with a pretty high regard out of Notre Dame. But, you know what you're getting with AJ, you know what you're getting with Jesse. You know, Jordan Fuller is, I think, your penciled in starter for now at free safety opposite Jesse. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, Xavier Watts has looked pretty decent. He's still a rookie, still learning. Billy Bowman has really shined on special teams, I'd say. Dee Alford, you know, speaking about guys that had a pretty good practice, I'd say he had a pretty good practice this afternoon. He had a pretty good interception after the Falcons' defense forced a little bit of pressure on Cam Ward. He was able to have a nice toe-tap sideline interception. So pretty good camp, I'd say, out of all those guys. I'd say Natron Brooks, kind of an under, you know, reported guy, for lack of a better term, that has had a pretty good camp thus far. He had a pretty good game, I think, against the Lions, all things considered. Another guy I'm trying to think of, maybe not on the back end, but Josh Woods is another guy in that linebacking core that was all over the field in that Lions game. So he was a guy that really stood out to me. Again, you're not seeing these starters play yet. You know, we've talked night and day about James Pierce Jr. and what he's been able to do. So we kind of know what we're getting at there at that point. As far as the back end of the secondary, that's what I've seen so far.
When it comes to the front of the defensive line, what did you get to see from JPJ and Jalen Walker out there? Did they look like they were holding their own?
Jalen Walker is a guy that has seemingly been a little bit slower than, you know, James Pierce Jr., all things considered. James Pierce looks a little bit more fine-tuned when it comes to that pass-rushing type skill. Jalen Walker, you know, he was excellent at Georgia when it came to run-stopping, and you've seen a little bit of that in camp so far. I think it's the position that he's in right now, sort of that edge rusher, linebacker, you know, hybrid type role, where he's kind of moving all over the field, learning Jeff Ulbrich's defense. I'm expecting him to have a little bit of a slower start, just at least what I've seen in camp so far, and you can kind of credit that to maybe the hamstring injury that was kind of holding him back for a little bit. But I'm not concerned with either one of those guys, especially James Pierce, just from what I've seen so far. And Jalen Walker, we know what he can bring to the table. I think with him, it's more of a developmental thing at this point. I think he's just working on understanding the system and getting his feet wet and not, you know, thinking as much as playing than, you know, some other guys right now.
Right now, based on what's being said at camp, do you think we'll see Darnell Mooney week one?
Michael Penix Jr. seemed to suggest that today. I will say Raheem Morris has not hinted at what time that might be. Penix briefly mentioned it when I can't remember if he was asked specifically about it or if he brought it up. I want to say he brought it up, but he did kind of briefly touch on the fact that, yeah, you know, expecting to see Mooney week one. So take that with what you will. That is his quarterback. I'm sure these guys are talking in the locker room behind the scenes. You know, I imagine they've got a better idea than we do as far as what these players' health issues or non-issues might be. I don't expect him to miss a lot of time. It's just, I feel like with what Raheem Morris has said in some of these press conferences, it's kind of given pause on when that date might be because he hasn't given one. So I think that's kind of been the cause of concern there.
It sounds like from everything I've been reading and looking online, like I know you mentioned Casey Washington, but a shout out to Ray Ray McLeod, who seems to be catching almost everything thrown his way as well.
Yeah, no, the speedster, he's getting down the field. That wide receiver set right now, at least, you know, with Mooney out, it's been Drake, it's been Ray Ray, it's been Casey, and it's been Kadarius Hodge, you know, so all those guys have kind of been out there in a four wide set. I'd say Kyle Pitts has kind of moved into a de facto receiver type role-ish. You know, he's been working with the receivers specifically, and I've been seeing him out wide a lot more. So, you know, at this point, I'd kind of consider him a little bit more of a receiver than a tight end.
Before I let you go, this might be a tough question to answer just based on when and how you were watching, but have you seen Warner on the field at the same time with Pitts?
Charlie Warner? Yeah, no, if I can recall correctly, I'm not sure if I was looking for it specifically, but from what I can recall, I do think I've seen both those guys on the field at the same time.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they deploy that personnel set more often than they did last year. Miles, appreciate the time as always. Good stuff. Appreciate you checking in from camp. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon, Chris. See ya.
All right, that is Miles Garrett there of Fox 5. When we get back, we got a bunch of interviews from you to hear today, as we have been playing all throughout Falcons training camp, which it's crazy to think, came and went. Just like that, today was our last time being up at Flowery Branch as a radio station. D'Angelo Malone stopped by the midday show today. He's been a guy that's been all over the field in the preseason so far, making plays. We'll let you hear what he had to say to our guys in the middays next as we roll on. Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.